Well, good to be here. Good to see everyone's face. It's always a pleasure to come to Scheinfelder, whether it's listening to a wonderful choir. And I like the song, Marching to Zion. This Friday, I'll be leaving to Regina, then to Ontario, then to Tel Aviv, with the group on an Up to Jerusalem tour. And we march to Zion. We march up the Kidron Valley into a place called the St. Anne Church, and it's got a beautiful acoustic, so we get to sing this song in that beautiful acoustic, Marching to Zion. So it's going to be a wonderful experience. And I brought a number of extra copies of this brochure, and in it, I think it's too late for you to come now, but I've got about five people now who want to fit into my luggage. It's going to be tight, but we'll see what we can do. I don't know if I'll be able to bring any clothes along, but it goes through each day of the tour. So if you're prayer-minded, and I'm sure you all are, we would appreciate you taking on one of these and pray for each day of the conference or of the trip to Israel. The topic of today's message is lifted above praise. We like to use the word praise today. There's praise bands, we got praise worship, we got praise albums. You go onto YouTube and you can get an hour, 2 hours of praise music playing in the background as you're doing whatever your work is. But one of the things about praise is deliverance is a key part of praise. If we haven't been delivered, what's there to praise God for? So I say deliverance. What a concept. The word comes with ideas of freedom, of liberty, and of salvation. For many immigrants of bygone days, deliverance may have been the first thought of those who saw the Statue of Liberty as they entered the waters of the USA. They were finally free to become all that they could be. For them, America was the land of opportunity. Exaltation was in order. All their heartaches meant nothing to them at that moment. While a deliverer is one who delivers, there's more to the meaning than that. A deliverer carries one away to safety, just like the ships that carry them away from an unsafe place to the waters of USA. Have you ever felt unsafe? Listen for the bagpipes. Everybody loves bagpipes, right? You'd love to hear Amazing Grace as they're coming with bagpipes, playing that in the background. Well, not everybody likes bagpipes, but in war, you need an instrument to announce victory. The Hebrews used a ram's horn, and at the entrance of God's eternal kingdom, at the end of the age, the trumpet of the Lord will sound. In Lucknow, in 1857, death was certain for the people of that city. All were in despair. A gal named Jessie Brown changed that despair. No, she was not the people's deliverer, but she heard the Scottish bagpipes. Victory was announced long before it happened, and because she heard those bagpipes, she announced it to the people in her family, to people in her community, that Lucknow was saved. The bagpipes could be heard above the din of the battle. Yes, for the desperate, deliverance is quite a concept. And for the people who came across from Hungary and from other places after World War II, Jewish people especially, there was one Hungarian Jew who came across. Her maiden name was Klein. And she came across through New York City. And she said she was going to live a different life. She was going to raise a family. She was going to have kids. Well, one of those kids became a famous rock singer named Gene Simmons from the band Kiss. And when he was on the stadium, he often had in his mind while he was on that stadium, they thought they were going to destroy the Jewish nation. But here I am, still standing in front of thousands of people. And one of the reasons that I stand with Israel is because Israel is still standing after all these years. And whatever you think of his music, Gene Simmons is still standing after all these years. And speaking of rock, here in this passage I'm looking at, 2 Samuel 22, we read of one of the songs we'll be singing probably later is Rock of Ages. I grew up with classic rock. There's all kinds of different forms of rock today, but I want to refer to that, the Rock of Ages. Here in 2 Samuel 22, verse 4, the song of David, and he says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death surround me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid, the sorrows of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. He made the darkness canopies around him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness of the coals of the fire were kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning bolts, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he is delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyes. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you shall show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. You will save the humble, but your eyes are on the haughty, that you may bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? This is a long song, and in rock and roll there are a lot of long songs. But this is the Rock of Ages. This is a song about the rock that is representing the only God. There is none like him except the Lord. God is my strength and my power, and he makes my way perfect. So that's one of the earlier rock songs. I call it ancient rock. And I think we need to look into ancient rock, not into classic rock. There are some good songs taken right out of the Bible from classic rock. But we look at Deuteronomy 32. And if David doesn't go far back enough for you for the Rock of Ages, let's look to Deuteronomy 32. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass, for I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. Another Rock of Ages, ancient rock song. And if you want to hear it from a a female voice. We got 1 Samuel chapter 2. Hannah, who gave birth to Samuel and a number of other children after that, who was barren for many years. And Elkanah thought he would be enough for her, and he was wrong. But after being told that she was going to give birth, here's her rock song. My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Hannah knew the rock that is our God, the rock of ages, cleft for me. I will hide myself in thee. So there's my reference to rock. But the blessings of praise. The Old Testament historical books share a side of history that many tend to overlook. There was war in the times of Israelites. At times, their situation was bleak. Chances of victory seemed slim. King David experienced many times like this. Yet, whenever God delivered David, he praised God for deliverance. 2 Samuel 22 is such an outburst of praise, and we've read a good portion of that already. When he exalted the God of Israel, David experienced the blessings of praise. We want to praise, but we want to experience the blessings of praise. We want to stand, we want to sing, we want to do all kinds of things, but the blessings of praise we need to also proclaim. 2 Samuel 22 is such an outburst of praise, like I said. These blessings were his because of three choices. David was not only willing, but enthusiastic about these three blessings. And here they are. David, first of all, let God be exalted. Secondly, David let God deliver. And thirdly, David let God show mercy. Second Samuel 22, and I'll read the last part of the chapter, verses 47 to 51. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. It is God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. He is the tower of salvation to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. David looks back. Lost my spot here. Here we go. 2 Samuel 22 is really a battle hymn. We've got the battle hymn of the Republic. This is the battle hymn of David. It is also a hymn of praise. Greater by far is the fact that this song is really about God lifting King David far above praise. The king is at a crossroads in his life. On the battlefield, the king experienced the one thing that a king never wants to see happen in battle. And we'll read that in 2 Samuel 21, verse 15. When the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David and his servants with him went down and fought against the Philistines, and David grew faint. You don't want to be in the battle and then grow faint. And that was the one thing that David never wanted to be. And because of this, they decided that David does not go to fight in battle anymore because he grew faint. And a king warrior is not supposed to grow faint. And yet, he being a human being, we all grow faint. Even young men grow faint, as Isaiah 40 points out to us. King David's men confronted him with these words, "You shall go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel." Now, we got people in the world today trying to quench the lamp of Israel, but it should never happen from within. And that's the thing with David. And it's unfortunate when we see Jewish people trying to snuff out some of the things within the Jewish community. There is a time in each of our lives when we have to take that reality check. We need to respond like King David did, with praise. Thank you, Lord, for all the things that you have allowed me to do. There is a time when retirement comes for all of us. And in that time, we grow faint. In that time, there are limitations to our body. We still want to do all the things we can do, but we need to respond like David with praise. Thank you for the years you have given me. Thank you for the opportunities I have now to pass on to the next generations. David looks back at his life and sees one consistency. He sees that through all of his battles, it was God who was there. Listen to some of the words of David in his song. "My Savior, you saved me from violence," in verse 3. God saves. "You heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered your ears." Our God hears. "He delivered me from my strong enemy," in verse 18. God delivers. So we look at number 4 here. "He delivered me because he delighted in me," in verse 20. God delights in you. "For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness." He enlightens. And that's the God we serve. That's the God that we can look back to, even in our retirement years, and say, "God, you've been good. You've been doing well." David looks back at his life, recognizing that it is God who has been his deliverer. David's victories were not to bring himself glory, but to bring the Almighty the rightful place of exaltation that only he deserves. That's a legacy that no amount of riches can buy. Verse 47 here is a 3-exclamation stanza. David does not allow his ego to lead him through an end-of-life crisis. Instead, he exclaims with gusto, I might add, "The Lord lives." Secondly, "Blessed be my rock." And finally, "Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation." Throughout 2 Samuel 22, David's desire is to give praise for how God has protected his servant so that his feet would not slip. Take some time by yourself today to look at this chapter. As you think about God's work in your life, let God be exalted. He alone is your rock of salvation. The second point is, let God deliver. Throughout many of his years, David was a man on the run. He was on the run during the early days of Saul and from his son Absalom in the later days of his kingdom. In all of his running, he could have taken matter into his own hands. He could have killed Saul or had one of his men kill him, but David would not. He knew from whence his deliverance would come. It was not David's strength that brought deliverance, but the mighty hand of God. And you can read it for yourself here in verse 44 to 46 of the chapter we're looking at today. And I'll let you do that as your homework assignment. Violence is one of society's greatest fears. When we hear the news, we hear of all the senseless acts of anger which lead to racism, ethnic cleansing, home invasion, assault, murder, genocide, and potential nuclear annihilation. We wonder where the world is heading. The issue of violence was around in David's day, and long before that. Like David, we need to let God deliver. Not much we can do about things, but we can pray. And then God listens to our prayers. It does not mean that we are to be passive and let the world face the full brunt of man's anger towards his fellow men. I get all kinds of petitions that I can fill out. I get all kinds of protests that I get invited to. There was one yesterday that I was told was today, so I didn't go to it because I thought it was today. And it was for the Iranian people. And I don't know how many there were in Winnipeg, but there were over 350,000 in Toronto at that, just filling up Yonge Street for blocks. So we have an opportunity to do something about it rather than just pray. But as we pray, God leads us as to what we should do and shouldn't do. This passage is not about us becoming cowardly or giving up. It's all about knowing who God is and all that he can and will do in your circumstance. David is calling us to do our part, but in the doing, know that it is God who is the avenger. God will lift you up above those who rise against you. We can come to God and let him deliver. And as another homework assignment, I'll challenge you to read Psalm 32, verse 6 and 7. When we let God deliver, we are lifted up above praise. We do praise, but it is not our praise that brings deliverance. It is God. He alone is worthy. He alone has power. He alone has preeminence. He knows the beginning from the end. You know, I have a different vehicle now, and it does all kinds of amazing things through technology that I didn't know. But some of the things that I can't understand when it tells me to. I drive down the road, and all of a sudden it tells me to stay in the two right lanes. And I'm thinking, you think I'm omnipresent. You think I can be in two lanes at the same time. And I'm thinking, boy, you're thinking very highly of me. But you're totally wrong. I can only be in one lane at one time. His blood covers all sin. His name is Jesus, which in Hebrew, Yeshua, means salvation. And as we focus on that commission, the Great Commission, we can take our minds off of ourselves, off of the world issues, off of our enemies, and put the attention back on Christ's priority for our lives. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Yeah, there's terrible things going on, but in those terrible things come opportunity, and that opportunity is ours in spades. Preach good news and let God deliver. Point three, let God show mercy. King David was fully aware of his own limitations. He was frail, he was faint, he was losing strength. Yet he looks back and he sees the deliverance of his God. Here in verse 50 and 51, therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. You are the tower of salvation to your king, and show mercy to your anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. God's not done with the Jewish people. Many people tell me, 70 AD, God was finished with the Jewish people. I hear that all the time. There's a replacement theology concept that is creeping into the world. That's not creeping anymore. It's just flowing into the world. And we need to stand against that and say, no, God is not finished with his covenant promises to Israel. He is going to stand with Israel to the end. Doesn't always like everything that Israel's doing, just like we don't always like what our Canadian government is doing, but we still vote in these people, expecting that some things might change. David knows that God sees all things, knows all things, and is able to deliver from all things. How does he know it? He has lived it. Because he has lived it, he wants to give thanks to God among the Gentiles. The word is actually goy, the Gentiles. And I was talking to a Jewish person, and I said to him that, you know, he asked me if I was Jewish, and I says, no, I'm a goy named Roy, working for Foy. And he laughed at that, but he says, you know, goy refers to the nations, and Israel is a nation. Don't forget that Israel is a nation, and is a nation under God. So when we're talking about Goy, Israel fits into that as well. So Israel can be considered a part of the nations as well, because it is a nation chosen by God. All who are not the people of Israel, God's chosen people, are considered by many to be the Goy, the nations. David wants to sing praises to God among all those peoples. And so should we. We should sing praises to the God of Israel, to all the nations. I know the Jewish people are to be a light unto the Gentiles, and we are to be a light, shine the light of Christ to the entire world, Jew and Gentile. As Paul says, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. David wants to tell the world that God is his tower of salvation, and he shows mercy to his anointed. As he is wasting away, King David is aware that there is hope beyond his days. He is aware that after he goes, God will still show mercy to his descendants forevermore. He is lifted to praise, but he is also lifted above praise. He remembers God's promises to him from 2 Samuel 7, 20 to 26, another homework assignment. This isn't going to make full sense to you unless you do your homework, right? Just like we teach our children, the teachers teach their children. You do your homework and you'll understand this a whole lot better. He may not be sure that Solomon will make a good king who serves with a whole heart. He may not be sure that Mephibosheth will have his feet cared for properly or his needs met after David is gone. End of life is loaded with unknowns. We don't know a lot of things, but we do what we can to instill into the world, to the next generations, what it is that is important. Being lifted above praise is about release. David releases himself to God. And as he releases his life, his career, his family, his kingdom to God, he is willing to let God show mercy. David fought many battles. He finished the race. His victories came in faith. His name is included in a great chapter, the faith chapter of Hebrews 11 in verse 32. At the end of David's life, his faith, his trust, and his hope are in the God who is able to show mercy. That's the God we serve today. How about you? Do others see your life as lifted above praise? Does God have the rightful place of exaltation that only he deserves in your life? Do you know who God is and all that he can and will do in your circumstance? When you need a deliverer, do you run to God or seek revenge? As you are lifted up above praise, rely on release. If your transgression is forgiven, don't keep silent. Let other people know. We're not ashamed of being sinners. In fact, we use the fact that we are sinners to point us to the mercy of God. Say, I was a sinful person, and I still continue in sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God has shown mercy again and again, and he continues to do so. I've got some relatives who tell me that God could never forgive my sin. And I say that's sad, because God is willing to forgive your sin. All you got to do is confess your sin. And that's, I'll close with reading 1 John 1. We often quote and put to memory, and I have done that, but we often quote 1 John 1, verse 10. But I want to read to you the verses. Context is always very important. I'll start at verse 4. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true, in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. We don't have to worry about stumbling. We don't have to worry about not being forgiven. God's grace is sufficient. He is able to forgive all of our sin and cleanse us from unrighteousness, right? One of the best ways to be lifted up above praise is found in 1 Timothy. And I'll read one verse from 1 Timothy, and you can figure out the context on your own, because 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, and I'll close with this. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Lifted up above praise. When people see that in you, they're seeing that, hey, this man is lifted above anything I understand. Lifted above praise. And that's what we want for our life. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you see our life, you know our life, you see the beginning from the end, you know that our life is just a vapor, and yet you have packed so much into our life. You give us so many opportunities to share your word with other people. And Lord, as we do that, may we find ourselves faithful, but more importantly, may we find you faithful. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.